O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
And you know, every believer right there ought to say, amen, glory to God. He is a great God. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the God I'm talking about, I'm going to introduce you to Him in just a moment and give you an opportunity to come and know Him and know the power of His resurrection and get acquainted with the blessings and the goodness of God. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning and turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, I'm going to read one verse out of Isaiah 55, and then I'm going to read you a couple of verses out of 2 Peter chapter 3. Isaiah 55, if you'll stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6. The Scripture says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Now I want you to notice there, it says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. it kind of sounds like there may come a time where you're not going to find him. So it says that while you have the opportunity, you better be looking for him. You better be seeking. And he says, called you upon him while he is near. And then I want to read you a passage out of 2 Peter chapter 3. I want you to listen to this. The scripture says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now there is a group that would say, hey, where is God? Show him to me. Everything's exactly like it was since the beginning. By the way, as you notice here, Peter is quoting scoffers, and he's quoting them saying something that is not true. It is not the same since the beginning. Things have miraculously happened. The problem is the world don't want to accept it. They don't want to see it, and they don't want to accept it. So this morning, I want to take Isaiah 55 and verse 6 and 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to speak to you on this subject, where to find God. Where to find God. Father, would you bless our time together this morning, open our heart and open our spirit to the preaching and teaching of your word. Would you have your way in this day or in this time and the preaching hour? And Lord, would you do your work? Holy Ghost of God, we beg and plead for your presence today and the moving of your power among the people. So please, we commend this service to your hands. Have thine own way, we pray it. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. Now in our text this morning, the Holy Spirit uses specific language in Isaiah 55 in verse number 6 and to convey to us specific truth that's tied into this verse. First of all, if you're looking at it, I want to dissect it for just a moment. First of all, he uses the word seek. He says follow. He says go after. He says advance toward. Gain by any means. Seek. That's what the word means. And may I say to you that there's a God in heaven today that is telling us, seek. He's saying to us, seek. And the Holy Ghost said, listen, we must seek now because there will be a day and time where you will no longer be able to seek anymore. He says, so seek. And then the next word he says is ye. That's a personal word. That means all of us. He said, seek. Follow, go after, advance toward, gain by any means. He said, all mankind, all of you, seek ye the Lord. And I want you to notice this word, while. He said, as long as. There's a space of time for you to get it done. He says, you need to look for him. He says, everybody does, because there's only a short period of time. You say, how do we know? Because the scripture says your life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. You say, about what does that mean, preacher? You ever boiled water? You ever seen the vapors come off of that water? They go about that high off the pot, and you know what they do? They vanisheth away. God says, that's what your life. Very small period of time. He said, you better find me while you can. He says, because there's a very short period of time. It's called life. And then he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be, and you will need to underline this word, found. He says, you need to seek me, go after, advance toward, gain by any means, all of mankind, as long as you can. And he said, then discover me. He says, I will be revealed. He said, reach toward. So he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now I got some news for you. Do you know God wants to be found? Yeah, he wants to be found. And listen, if he didn't, he wouldn't have told us to seek him so that we could find him. He's not hiding out there behind some distant planet somewhere. He wants non-believers, listen, and believers alike to find him. You say, well, where is he? I'm going to tell you where he is. You see, God is not trying to hide from anyone. He loves us and wants to bless us with his divine power. You say, well, preacher, why is it that so many people can't seem to find the Lord? Well, the scripture says it's because they're blinded. You say, well, how do we know that? Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, to a person who knows not Jesus Christ, the Bible says the reason they can't find Him is because you are blinded to Him. Notice, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. The Scripture says, in whom the God of this world... Stop. Anybody like to define that for me? He said the God of this world is the devil. He's the prince and the power of the air. So whatever 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4 is about to tell us, the one responsible is the devil, not God. The devil. He says, whom the God of this world, listen now, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You say, well, why is the devil in the blinding business? Why is he trying to hide a person from God and finding him? Look at the rest of the verse. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You say, what does that mean, preacher? He wants to blind through unbelief. He doesn't want you to find God. And what he'll do is he'll set a blinder in your mind of unbelief to hide the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ from you. You say, can you bring that down just to one sentence? He don't want you to be saved. He wants you to die and go to hell. That's the bottom line. So you know what he does? Unbelief blinds people. You see, there's someone, Satan, who does not want you to find the Lord. So he distracts, so he discourages, so he destroys, so you'll stop looking for him. You see, there's a lot of people that are discouraged. Their life's been destroyed. They've been distracted. And you know what? They've stopped looking for him. But wait a minute. It's not that he doesn't want to be found. He wants to be found by believer and unbeliever. But what blinds the unbeliever is his unbelief. And that unbelief is set the scales upon his eyes by Satan himself. Hey, listen, he'll use your failures in the past. He'll use your lifestyle against you. He'll do everything that he can to convince you you can't be saved. Don't believe it, folks. Don't believe it. You say, what else, preacher, causes a person not to be able to find God? Well, first of all, unbelief. Number two, sin. Sin does. Take your Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Listen to this. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen now. But he that lacketh these things is... Does your Bible say blind? He that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So you know what keeps people away from finding the Lord? I'm talking about believers and unbelievers. Sin does. Because he will use that against you to convince you that you can't possibly be saved, and God certainly wouldn't save somebody that's done what you've done. He'll use sin to blind you where you can't find him. You see, it's just another tool that Satan uses to blind the eyes of believers and unbelievers alike. You see, our sin becomes the focus of our life then. And we stop seeking the Lord and lose contact because we no longer pray and read his word. So may I say, what blinds people, the reason people can't find God, number one, because of unbelief. Number two, sin. And may I say, number three, self. You say, you mean little old precious, wonderful me? Yes, little old precious, wonderful you. You will blind yourself. You say, well, how can I do that? According to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And listen, There's not a person in here that doesn't have to fight your flesh and self. You say, well, preacher, what you mean that's what I was fighting just to come to church this morning? Bingo. Oh, I shouldn't have used that. Amen. I know I appeal to some of your flesh when I talk about bingo. Amen. You say, man, speaking of that, preacher, I think I'm going to go out and try my luck. Please don't do that. Now, what I'm saying is self will blind us to finding God because of our pride, our arrogance, our stubbornness. Listen to me. How about an unteachable spirit? How about, you know what, preacher, you can't teach me anything. Well, you know what, even if Jesus was preaching this morning, you probably wouldn't let him teach you anything. You see, when a person has an unteachable spirit, they're not going to be able to find the Lord. They're not going to be able to find Him in their time of need. What I'm saying to you is an unteachable spirit. How about an unapproachable attitude? You ever met people that you just can't talk to, just can't approach because every time they do, they're provocative? They try to provoke you into something. You can't even talk to them. You see, an unapproachable attitude. How about this? How about an unreasonable mind? You ever talk to people and it's just where they're coming from? It's like, where in the world are you coming from? What are you talking about? You know what? I'd just soon just go ahead and stay with the book. Amen? Just stay with the Bible. But listen, you got people that have an unreasonable mind. And you say, well, that just doesn't, they tell you, that just doesn't make sense. Well, you know something? Try to figure God out. You're not. And so I learned a long time ago, I'm just going to try to stop figuring God out and just believe the book, okay? Just believe what it says. Stop wasting my time trying to figure out infinity. I can't do it. So unbelief, sin, and self hinders people from finding God. Now let me say this. If you want to find someone, everybody played hide and seek in here before? God's not trying to play hide and seek. He wants to be found. But listen to me, I found out when I played hide and seek, if I wanted to find somebody, you know what, one of the first places I'd always look in their favorite place. You want to find someone, look in the favorite spots they are. Look in the places where they frequent often. Or, how about this? How about track them down where they have been, and you know what it'll do? It'll lead you to where they are. Find out where they've been, and you follow that, and you know what you'll find? You'll find out where they are. You say, well, preacher, I want to find God. All right, let me give you some tracks that God left. How about Bethlehem's manger? That's where it all started on earth. He was born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem's manger, there in a stall. That's where it began. As those shepherds came and at the proclamation of His birth, they came and glorified. And we find out that 2 years later, the three wise men came and found Him and brought gifts and fell down. Listen, you know what those are? Those are tracks. If I'll follow those tracks, I'll find Him. I'll find Him. There's a manger. His earthly parents, Joseph and Mary, took Him to a city of Nazareth. And He was raised in a carpenter's home. You know what that is? That's another track. Just track it. From the manger to Nazareth. And then the next thing we see Him pop up in Matthew chapter 3 at about 30 years of age, baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. You know what that is? Another track. Another track. So now we've gone from the manger to Nazareth to the River Jordan. And then we have 3.5 years of ministry where He ministered in Jerusalem and all the surrounding cities and did miracles. He healed the sick, caused the blind to see, caused the deaf to hear, raised the dead to life again. You know what all of those were? Tracks. Tracks. That's what they were. Well, then He was accused of being a false prophet. And He was arrested and tried in Jerusalem. You know where that arrest and that trial led Him? To another track. To a place of evidence that He has been here. Remember, if I'm trying to find somebody, let me find where they've been and it'll lead me to where they are. And you know where Jesus found Himself now? On a cross. On a cross, dying for you and for me. And there He was suspended between heaven and hell. He didn't just take your sins on Him. Listen to me. He became sin for you. He became it. Every atrocity of life He became for you. You know what that is? That's a track, my friend. You can find the cross, but you know where the cross leads? To a tomb. And may I hear, I'm here today to proclaim the tomb is empty. And you know what it is? It's just another track. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to find God. I've traced Him now from a manger to His ministry, or to Nazareth, to His ministry. I've traced Him to the cross, to the tomb. And now I find Him just a few days later on the Mount of Olives ascending in a cloud back to the Father. Hey, you know what? That baby in that tomb, that manger, you know where it led me? It led me to the throne of God. And you know what? That's where I'm going to find Him. Because if I'll just track where He's been, it'll lead me to where He is. Now I'm here to tell you this morning that if you'll trace Jesus' steps from His birth to His ascension, you won't have any problem finding Him. You know why? Because He wants to be found. He wants to be found. Let me give you a couple of things to think about here about where you won't find Him. Okay? First of all, you will not find God in the world. Because the Bible says, if a man is friends with the world, he's the enemy of God. So I know He's not in the world. So you're not going to find Him in the world, out there in the joints. You're not going to find Him out there. That's not where He is. You're not going to find Him in lustful pleasures. You're not going to find Him in a job. You say, man, I make a lot of money. You're not going to find God at the job. You're not going to find Him in the abundance of wealth. Let me remind you, if you remember the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, remember when he was running from Jezebel? He finds himself in a cave. God said, what are you doing in this cave? He says, God, I don't know if you know this, but I'm the only one taking a stand for Jesus. I'm the last one, only one. You know what God said? Are you serious? You think I'm only going to leave one of you? Now listen, God taught him a lesson. Because the next thing he says, go to the mouth of the cave. And there at the mouth of the cave, you know what happened? A rushing wind came by. But you know what the scripture said? God was not in the wind. And then an earthquake happened. But you know what? God wasn't in the earthquake. And then fire came by. And the scripture says God wasn't in the fire. And then a still small voice began to speak. And you know what? That's where God was. And may I say to you now, you just jot these things down and I'll be done. You want to find God? If you're a believer here this morning, you know where we're going to find Him? In you. You're going to find Him in you. You say, you mean God is in me? Yes, 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Question mark. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? You know where I'm going to... Listen, we go looking for God in all the wrong places. We go looking for Him everywhere. And God says, if you're a believer, here I am. I'm in you. When you got saved, I came inside and I lived there in the person of the Holy Ghost of God. Colossians 1:27. Listen now. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So people go looking for God all over the place. And God says, hey, still small voice, I'm in you. I'm inside you. You can talk to me now. You say, you mean the Holy Spirit of God lives within me? Yes, in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4, the scripture says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You see, the Holy Ghost of God lives in you. You know what He's there trying to do? The scripture says, according to John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, He's there to teach you in the way. He's there to teach you. You know why? Because I don't know all the Bible. You see, I don't know all the things that I need to do to live the Christian life. I need somebody to teach me. Mamas and daddies, why do you send your children to school? Do you send them to school because you want someone to teach them? Because they don't know all about the English language? Because they don't know how to do the mathematic problems, or they don't know how to do certain things, so you send them to school for a purpose so that someone, a teacher, can teach them. Amen. So you know what God says? He saves us. When a person puts their faith in church, He saves us, and He says, I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. And according to John chapter 14, the scripture said he will teach you and this and now. And then he said he will guide you. He will guide you. You say, preacher, where can I find God? In you, if you're a child of God. You say, but I don't know, preacher. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live? God in you teaches you and then he guides you. How many of you have ever taken a tour with God? You say, tour where? Just tour through what he expects of you. Just saying, Lord, what do you expect of me? He says, I'm glad you asked. We're going to go ahead and take a virtual tour of my will for your life. And allowed him to walk you through his will. You say, oh, preacher, I've done that before. It scared me to death. I told him, I don't want to take that tour no more. I don't want to be guided that way anymore. Hey, he's there to teach you. He's there to guide you. Why? Because I don't know where I'm going. You say, you mean you're a pastor? You don't even know where you're going? Well, I know I'm going to heaven, but may I say to you, I can't see what's in the future. That's the reason I have to depend on him to guide me through it. See, for most of us, amen, Brother Combs, we get in the car, we need guidance. The way some of us drive. I need the Holy Spirit to guide me. Hey, listen, how many of you have ever gotten in your car and you pulled out of the church parking lot or you pulled out some way and you're in such a routine, you go home or go do something the exact same way and then that still small voice said, turn here. You're like, hey, that's a long way home. I don't want to turn here. And you turn there, and you go down here, and he says, turn here, turn there. And you came home the back way. You get home, turn the news on, and you see that there was an explosion or there was a five-car pileup that would have happened right about the time that you would have been there. Hey, can I say something to you? Where are you going to find God? How about in you? And just listen to what that still, small voice is saying. So, believer, this morning, if you're a child of God, I'm going to tell you where you can find God. He lives in you. You don't have to go far. Listen, he doesn't have a special number that you have to dial. You say, well, how can I make contact with him? How about, hello, Jesus? How about, thank you, Holy Spirit? He's just a call away. So where can you find God, believer? You can find him within you. Number two, may I say that you can find him not only in you, you can find him in his word. You can find him right there. You see, preacher, you mean the Word of God? God's in his Word? Yeah, listen to this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Listen, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Listen, can I say something to you this morning? God and his Word are inseparable. You cannot separate the two. So you know where I'm going to find him? Not just in me. I'm going to find him in the book. And this book speaks to me. You say, preacher, you need your head examined. Can I prove you something for just a moment? In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said this. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Listen. And they are life. So that means when I read the Word, you know what? The amazing thing is God is speaking to me. I found Him in His Word. Boy, I'm telling you, how many of you believers this morning have picked your Bible up and found a promise in the Bible and you said, I'm claiming that promise because God spoke to you about something. Boy, I can't tell you how many times in the Christian life that's happened to me. And I claim that promise for the glory of God. But if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, can I tell you, not only can you find God, you'll find Him, but you're going to have to find Him in His Word. You're going to have to find Him in His Word. Because you know what the Word teaches you? It teaches you not only why you need to be saved, it teaches you how to be saved. Oh, I'm going to hide you because we got some visitors here this morning. It also teaches you that when you're saved forever. Amen. You say, is that in the Bible? Yeah, it's in the Bible. You say, where? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wasn't real smart. I was born in Mississippi. But you know what? The thing about it is I understand what that word everlasting means. It means lasting forever. So whatever salvation is, once I get it, listen to me, it's forever. And you know where you say, where'd you get that? Right here. Because I found God and God told me from the Word. You say, where can I find God? Well, first of all, if you're a believer, you can find Him within you. Number two, you can find Him in His Word. You can find His will for your life. Hey, you can find what God's plan is for the future in the Bible. There's no reason. I have a bad habit. You say, what's that habit? I've been biting my nails since I've been born. Bad habit. But can I say something to you? That just because I bite my nails because of whatever, I don't have to bite my nails about what's going to happen in the future because I already know what's going to happen in the future. You say, where'd you get that? I found God. Where'd you find Him? In the book. And He tells me in the book what's going to happen in the future. So folks, that's the reason you can watch the news tonight. Listen, and you don't have to be afraid unless you don't know Jesus Christ. Then you have something to be concerned about. But if you know the Lord, you don't have to be afraid watching the news. You don't have to be afraid what's happening on the other side of the world. Why? Because the book's already told you what's going to happen, folks. We're funneling toward one event. You say, what is that event? The coming of Jesus. And listen now, and then 7 years later, the establishment of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You say, where'd you find that? Found that because I found God. Found Him in His book. He told me His plans. He told me the purpose of life. Hey, He shows me His heart. He shows me His heart. He loves us. Amen. He loves us. You say, but preacher, you don't understand. I don't have to understand because God already understands. You're not going to find a human being ever going to understand all your faults. But God does. He understands that you are but dust of the ground. He'll also teach you how to live. And I've already told you, He'll teach you how to be born again. Remember I told you, when you trace Him, you'll find Him, but you're going to have to trace Him to the foot of the cross, to an empty tomb, and then there you will find Him at the right hand of God. Let me throw a couple of others out here and I'm done. And that's this. I said you can find God within you. I said you can find God in His Word. But remember I told you when I used to play hide and seek, one of the first places I go look is all of the favorite places that people like to that I can find them, that they like to be. Can I say to you, you can find God in a Bible-believing church? Yeah. You can find Him in a Bible-believing church. Why? It's one of His favorite places to go. You say, why? Because it's a whole bunch of believers that gather together. And listen, I think I've got some scripture to read you here in just a moment. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, listen, for where two or three are gathered together in My name, listen, there am I in the midst of them. Let me see. Looks like two or three more are here today. Amen? So you know what God likes to show up? He likes to show up at church. You want to find Him? Come to church. You say, I can find Him out on the fishing lake or in the deer stand. Listen, I love to do both of those. But you know what? While I'm out there, I'm looking for deer and fishing for fish. That's what I'm out there doing. I love God, don't get me wrong, but listen, when I get out there in the boat, it's time to fish. When I get in the deer stand, it's time to hunt. Most of the time, I'm not going to find Him there. Why? Because my mind has been distracted on something else. These people say, I go to church in my backyard. Okay, go ahead. But what I'm saying is, in Scripture here, the Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Listen, and so much more. You hear me? And so much more as you see the day approaching. And can I say something to you folks? The day's approaching. We don't need less church. We need more church. We don't need less fellowship. We need more fellowship. So you can find, preacher, you can find God in a Bible-believing church. Yeah. But the key here is this. Now you got to be careful. I didn't say any church. Because did you notice it says where two or three are gathered together in My name? There's a lot that ain't gathering in Jesus' name today. So it's going to have to be in His name. It's going to have to be a church verified by Scripture. By the way, what'd you come to church looking for today? You know what 99.9% of us came to church for? Looking for God. Amen? We came looking for God, looking for a blessing, looking to be encouraged. We were looking for something from heaven. That's what we're here for. That's why we came. Why? Looking for Him. Well, I said you can find Him within you if you're a believer. I said you can find Him in His Word whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. You can find God at a Bible-believing church whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. But may I say, lastly, this morning, you can find Him sitting on His throne in heaven. You say, well, how do we know that? Because Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16 said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He said, well, that doesn't tell us God's sitting on the throne, all right? Isaiah 6, verse number 1. Remember in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne." Listen to me, high and lifted up. So there you go. That's where He is. Matter of fact, when Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives, remember He ascended back to the right hand of the Father. So you know where we can find Him? We can find Him sitting right on His throne. He said, "Where's God?" Same place He was before He even created all things. Same place. He's not going anywhere. He's there. And you can find Him. You see, His throne emanates with grace and mercy. And let me say in conclusion, listen now, that throne of grace there, first of all, He's ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. You say, "But will God forgive me?" I said He's ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive anything. And listen, I don't have time to give you all the illustrations in the Bible about some of the debauchery that people had done in the Bible. Immorality, murder, thieves. And you know what? God saved them. He said, "Prove it." All right? Three crosses on Calvary, right? Jesus in the middle, thieves on both sides. At the beginning, both of them begin to mock Him. But then one of them thought, "Man, that old boy wants to mock you. Listen, I got my soul to lose here." And he looked at Jesus and he said simply this, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You know, that doesn't seem like a whole lot, does it? But you know what? He asked by faith. And because he asked by faith, Jesus looked at him and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, folks, listen to me. Do you know that old boy only had just a few hours to live? So this group that says, "Oh, preacher, I don't believe in these people, wait till the last minute and get saved." You better, because Jesus did. He saved that old boy within the last few hours of his life. By the way, did you notice he didn't have time to hop off that cross and get baptized? So those that believe that water right there, hey, we believe in believers' baptism after salvation, but you listen to me, nothing in that water right there cleanses any sins or makes anybody whole. You know what that old thief was? He was just glorifying God that he was saved. He called on Jesus and Jesus saved him by faith, by grace. Why? He's ready to forgive. If he'll forgive that thief in the last hours of his life, you know what? He'll forgive you. May I say he's ready to forgive? May I say number two, he's ready to forget. The scripture said he's willing to put all sins behind him and remember them no more. He's willing to put them as far as the east is from the west. Folks, he's willing to forgive, but he's willing to forget. That's the reason, believers, listen to me, we got to be careful about bringing up things in prayer to God that he's already forgotten. You say, "But I just feel so guilty." Well, feel guilty yourself. Don't bring it up to God because he's forgiven it and forgot it. But may I say to you, number three, that not only is God ready to forgive, he's ready to forget, he's ready to foretell. You say, "Foretell what, preacher?" He's ready to tell you when he forgives you, when he forgets, and he saves you, he's really ready to tell you what your future life is in Jesus Christ, and it can be. You see, this morning, if you know not Christ, you can come this morning. Please don't leave today without knowing him. You say, "Well, preacher, I was baptized." I just said, listen, baptism's a wonderful thing after a person gets born again. It's not, listen, we get baptized because we're saved, not to be saved. It's not works. "For by grace are you saved For by grace are you saved. And you know what? It's the gift of God. What is grace is? Mercy is. Salvation is. It's a gift of God. And that gift that we have of God is eternal life. And once we get it, it's forever. And now he wants to foretell and tell you what your life can be in Jesus Christ if you'll come this morning. It's called, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Listen to me. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, it was that verse right there that catapulted me to salvation, because I was raised believing you had to work your way to heaven. And I always had a question. If I had to work my way to heaven, how would I ever know that I've done enough to be saved? Because nobody ever told me that. They just said you had to do this and do that. Now, all I'm saying to you this morning, where are you going to find God? If you're a believer, you're going to find Him within you. If you're a believer or an unbeliever this morning, you can find Him in His Word. You can find Him in a Bible-believing church. And you can also find Him sitting on the throne in heaven. And you know what He's doing? He's making an appeal to every person this morning that doesn't know Jesus to come. To come. Come what? Come to Calvary. And there you can find forgiveness and salvation for your soul. Would you bow your head with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say this morning, preacher, no question about it, I'm a born-again believer. I know when I've been saved. No question about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. I've been born into the family of God, preacher. I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. No question about it. All right? Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Father, my prayer is this morning that you'd move in such a way during this invitation time that as we kind of draw the conclusion to the service now this morning, that Lord, there's no question, I believe that you are in the midst of us this morning. And those that know not Christ can come today and be wonderfully and gloriously saved, wonderfully and gloriously born into the family of God. And I pray, Lord, that there would not be one that would resist that opportunity this morning. But then there are some believers this morning, Lord, that they're struggling in their life. Maybe sin has captured them and bound them, and maybe self, maybe pride, arrogance, selfishness, whatever it may be, has bound them tightly, and they're struggling in their walk with God. I pray that they would come as well and respond, Lord, and you're willing to give them freedom from that bondage. Please move in this invitation in a wonderful way. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, please, no one looking around but me. Almost every hand could be raised just a moment ago saying that, preacher, I'm a born-again believer. But there were some that could not raise their hand. Folks, I believe God sent you to this church this morning because He wants you to find Him. He's not trying to hide. He wants to be found. How many of you this morning that say, preacher, I've got to be honest in my heart. If something happened to me and I went off into eternity, I cannot honestly say that heaven's my home. But I want to go. So if I died tonight, preacher, I cannot honestly say that I'd go be with the Lord. Would you pray for me? No one's looking but me. How many would be honest before God and say, preacher, that's me? I want you to slip your hand up and say, preacher, would you pray for me? Pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you. And you just slip your hand up. Slip it up. Say, preacher, I don't know for sure that I've been born into the family of God. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up. Slip it up. Who will join these two? Say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. I haven't had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. Anybody else will join these two. Just slip it up and I'll pray for you. Slip it up. Slip it up. All right, you can slip your hands down. How many this morning would say, preacher, I've already been saved. I am already a Christian. If the eastern sky split today, I know I'd go up to be with the Lord because I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. But you said, preacher, I haven't been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray with me? I need to take care of that for Christ. How many are like that? You say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized according to Scripture after I got saved. Would you pray for me? I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you and you and you. You can slip your hands down. Who will join these three and say, preacher, that's me. Never been baptized after I got saved. And by the way, biblical baptism is by immersion in deep water, the Bible says. And it comes after we've been born again. Anybody else? All right, then last thing, how many this morning would say, preacher, would you pray for us? We're looking for a place to serve God. We're looking for a church home. God is leading us. We're not sure exactly what His will is, but would you pray with us about that? I want to pray with you. about God's direction, about a church home. How many are like that this morning? You say, preacher, pray for me, and I will. Slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. Preacher, we're praying for a place to serve God. God bless you. You can slip your hands down. Anyone else? Say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. Who'll join these two? God bless you. Anybody else? Say, preacher, we're looking for a place to serve God. Would you pray with us about that? All right. Now, Father, I just simply ask that you have your way in this invitation. Move in such a way that, Lord, conviction would be in the hearts of those who know not Christ. Because today they can find you here at an old-fashioned altar. They can come today and find you through the Word of God. And I pray that they would come and put their faith and trust in you and not leave today, not knowing that heaven's their home. Lord, they're here. This could be the last opportunity. This could be the last extension of love and care about the salvation of their soul. We're to seek you. We're to seek you while you may be found. Because when we leave today, Lord, we know not what tomorrow brings. Bless this time together. Those that need to be saved, save them. Those that need to be baptized, that they would come to be baptized. Those that need a church home, Lord, God, would you please, whatever direction that you'd like them to go, would you give them direction so that they can have a joyful time, a wonderful time as they serve through a local church. And we'll give you all the glory and praise for the outcome of this invitation time. For we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet with me? As the instrument begins to play, Brother Shaddix is going to begin to sing. If you're a believer this morning and you just need to come pray, you come on. If you raise your hand, say, preacher, I haven't had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. Would you come? We don't want you to leave today without knowing the Lord. Would you come? Maybe you say, preacher, I've already been saved but never been baptized. You come. You come. You come. This is your opportunity. Don't let it pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. You come. Say, preacher, I've already been saved but never been baptized. This is your opportunity to come and obey the Lord. You come right ahead. Come on, we have people here that will deal with you, talk with you about your need. You come. You come. If you just need to come and pray, you come ahead. If you believe this is God's will about a church home, you come. We'll sit down and talk with you about that. But listen, some of you this day, you need to find the Lord.